In this interesting episode of Candy Teeth Radio, Jeremy Gregory and Jeff Weeks sit down with local Tacoma glass artist Sarah Gilbert. Sarah talks about moving here from Philly to work at Tacoma's Museum of Glass, a few tips and tricks for dealing with hotshot burns, and some of the differences in communities between torch work artists and soft glass artists. She also gives the guys an insider's glance at Philchuck Glass School Camp. The group covers the fact that Sarah had used Jeff as subject matter on a piece, and that Jeff's drawings were incorporated into that piece, and that the piece has been purchased by the Museum of Glass as part of its permanent collection, and that it is currently in a show in England. Please take time to like the Candy Teeth Radio Facebook page, and check out CandyTeethCreative.com or at CandyTeethCreative on Instagram, and SoundCloud off model to see what the guys are creating outside the podcast. As always, thanks for listening, and remember, stay alive.
Not talking about. We were going to talk about it.
I know.
Because it's going to lead back.
This is the thing I don't want to talk about.
These plants are
all going to hell.
You are the worst.
I'm sorry.
Only ones.
All right. Welcome back to Candy Teeth Radio. We're here with Sarah Gilbert. Right?
Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Did I pronounce it right?
Got it.
It's with an H.
With an H.
Was it hard to go through life with that name being mispronounced?
I have to say... Oh, I thought you were asking about the actress.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't even know. Who's the actress? Oh, yes, I do. Yes,
yes
I
do.
Doesn't everybody from the 80s?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's a thing.
I thought that's what you were bringing up.
And I wasn't, and now I just want to talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for coming. We were trying to chase you down.
Thanks for having me.
We wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So people, you know, maybe if they haven't heard of who you are,
yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I don't know. I'm an artist that lives in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from the East Coast.
Rochester,
what? New York.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm already learning.
I know the town that Jeff's originally from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, when he tells those stories, you can picture it.
Yes. I know the streets. I feel like when I'm driving around Tacoma, I can picture Rochester pretty often, which is close to Henrietta, which is...
Yeah.
When did you move here?
I moved here in December of 2006.
And, like, you just, like, drove here and were like, cool, I'm done.
Stay here.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the ocean.
Yeah. I guess I'm
driving.
Done. I'm Lewis and Clark.
No, I moved out here to work at the Museum of Glass.
Oh, okay.
We have here.
That's why you moved here?
Yeah, I moved here to work there. So I grew up in, like, south of Rochester, and then, like, 30 minutes south of Rochester. Then...
What was the town?
It's called Avon.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Avon.
Avon.
Like the makeup company.
Mm-hmm.
Avon.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I had to deal with all my life. I moved to Columbus, Ohio for a little bit, and then I moved back to Rochester. Yeah, right? And then I moved to Philadelphia, which is an amazing city, and I love it. And I didn't want to leave there, but the opportunity at the museum was kind of like maybe too good to turn down. So I moved out here. I'm glad I did, but I thought I would move out here for like maybe 2 years and then move
back
east.
Yeah.
I never really pictured myself living on the West Coast, like, for an extended period of time.
And then here you are.
Yeah, now it's
really
been,
nice,
I think, 9 years now.
Wow.
Something like that.
You feeling itchy?
Not really, which is kind of weird. I mean, I am. My whole family's back east, and that really, really sucks.
Yeah.
To be so far away, but other than that, life's pretty good out here.
Yeah.
Other than that giant chunk.
Other than that huge hole in my heart.
Yeah.
What do you do at the Glass Museum?
Well, I started there as the shop technician, so I was in charge of, like, the furnaces and the equipment and budget and making sure, you know...
Oh, damn.
Yeah, everything was kind of in working order, basically. Mm-hmm. The artists coming in had what they needed.
Right.
The team that works there every day had what they needed and facilitating what was going on there and then kind of... I mean, it's kind of a larger job than maybe it sounds like, because...
Oh, it doesn't sound like a very small job
at all. Yeah, it sounded pretty big.
Sounds like you're the, like, leader of everything.
You end up kind of bridging a lot of things.
Yeah.
Filling the holes, huh?
Yeah. Which was an awesome job to step into when I first moved out here, and then just recently I've, kind of moved more to the actual... More of the hands-on, I'm blowing glass every day, basically.
Yeah. So
less of the maintenance, more of the making part.
So at the Museum of Glass, there's a hot shop where you can watch, the viewers can watch.
So at the museum, we're kind of unique because we have an actual museum with galleries, and attached to that is like a big theater space where... there's a working studio, and then we have, like, different artists from all over the world that we invite in or get invited in different ways, and we get to work with them either by actually fabricating their work and making it for them, or working with them to, like, help facilitate them making their work.
So you just get to learn the whole time.
Yeah, it's from pretty
millions
amazing.
Millions of different people exactly. That are
like the
through.
Most famous people in glass blowing in the whole world.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool because every week is a different
right.
thing. Wow. So yeah, that's where like when I first started, I definitely didn't understand exactly what I was getting into, and definitely like was attached to the East Coast maybe more than I realized. And thought I would just kind of come out here and, like,
do
hang out for
things.
A little
yeah.
bit and
yeah.
then go back. And I got here, and two years went by, and I was like, yeah, I can't leave now. You know, yeah.
like, you got hooked.
Yeah, I totally got hooked, so.
So were you glassblowing, like, over on the East Coast before you came here, then?
Yeah, so I went to college for my degrees, actually, in fine art, but, mm-hmm. With a major in glass.
Right.
So I actually went to school originally for animation, and that's like where my
that's awesome
focus was. Like I kind of discovered glass blowing the summer I graduated from high school.
Right.
And got pretty immediately hooked and wanted to just deny that I was like, I can't get into this because I'm going to go into animation and that's where I'm supposed to go, you know? I was like...
And this is going to take up all my time.
Yeah, yeah. And this is like way more than... And so I kind of hung out and did it at the studio that I started working at and I was like, well, maybe I can just do both. And this college I had gotten into had a really great animation program, and they just happen to have this, like, small glass program.
Yeah,
I was like, cool, I can just yeah. this as, like, a minor. And I just ended up, I mean, I did 2 years at that school, and I got into the glass program the second year I was there, and ended up spending more time than I should have in the glass studio, basically to the point where I was like, I either need to do something about this, or stop.
Right.
Yeah. Cut it.
Doing glass. Yeah. Cut it out.
Because I don't have time to draw 1,000 cells
exactly.
for my animation class.
Like, can't do both. Both are like so time consuming.
Yeah, they're both heavy. So the animation part kind of explains how the drawing got into the glass.
Yeah. So the animation thing, I still like I don't know if it's just me being stubborn or what.
Ah, you want to do it.
Not let go of the animation part. And drawing has, like, definitely always been a huge part of, like, my practice as an artist, no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But, like, really getting down to, like, the illusion of motion or some sort of, like, bringing the imagery back into what I'm doing as, like, never really left my thought process.
Yeah.
I feel like I still kind of, like, even come up with ideas and think of them as, like, moving images, you know? Like,
yeah, like, you're still doing animation.
I'm still
you're
in
just
my
taking
head.
Parts out.
Yeah.
And using it.
Kind of.
Well,
it's just, like, using it in a craft medium. I don't know.
Well, but the thing is, like, if it's, you know, if you can't make it move, you know, it's glass, you know, it's you can't be, you know,
right.
Making 1,000 cells and animating that. I mean, you could, I suppose. Ooh. But that would be really time-consuming.
I just looked at you like, damn. That sucks that he just said that.
When I first came out here, too, there was this guy named Gregory Barsamian mm-hmm. that does these... He's kind of mixing animation and glass, or he was. I don't even know what he's doing right now. He was in New York. He probably still is. And he was doing these...
He came through the museum.
He came through the museum before I worked there.
Oh.
And I met him at Pilchuck, which is this glass school in Stanwood, Washington. He was basically making these, like, tornado-shaped things.
Okay.
And they would spin, and there was the strobe light that would hit. So there's, like, sculptural things doing something around the
Yeah.
Right? And the strobe light would hit it so that it looked like...
It's a zoetrope.
Yeah.
But built into glass.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That's too much.
It was. That's and awesome. I met him, and I was like, fuck, what am I even trying to do?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you're
done.
Figured
it out.
Yeah.
You already did this.
Wow. I'm going to check that out. How do you get the drawings to the glass?
Basically, I'm using an old technique, cameo engraving. Imagine your grandma's brooch.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? So
yep.
That image, that, like, portrait maybe on the brooch, right? That's,
yes.
Like, ground through.
That's really it.
White. So there's, like, a white glass on top of a colored sheet of glass or something, and... Grind through the white layer to create shading using that darker layer behind it, right?
Okay.
I kind of took that and typically or traditionally you blow an object or you make an object, don't blow an object, and you cover the whole object in white glass and then you grind through all of that glass to create the imagery that you're using
mm-hmm.
for cameo. So the difference in what I'm doing is that I'm using just kind of the silhouette of the drawing that I'm doing and applying that to the blown object so I don't have to grind through all of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
Which allows me then to also use like some different glass blowing processes that maybe wasted using the older way of using it. I don't know how to describe it without seeing it.
Wow.
Does that make any sense?
It does make sense, because the way I paint is like that, where it's a silhouette.
Yeah.
And then I
go
the other
imagine
way.
That, like, what is that stuff that you have, like, there's, like, a white and then a black paint over it, you scratch
yeah,
it?
Yeah, scratch board.
Scratch board. So it's essentially like that, but it takes, like, way more time.
Right.
Yeah. It's a little more involved.
But that's the idea, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could do a rough sketch on a scratch board, and that would give me a good idea.
So how are you drawing, though? Because the drawings look like drawings, like, just like you drew it. It doesn't look like you were doing it in glass. You know, do you understand?
Yeah. Like, how do I do the shading, or, like, what?
I don't know, like, because you're saying you do a silhouette.
Yeah.
So you're getting the shape of a black piece, I'm just going to say.
Yep.
And it's going on to another piece.
Yep.
And then there's a cover over that? Or no, it's on top. Black's on top.
The white's on top of the black. And then I'm grinding through the white layer.
It starts to get darker. Correct. Okay, gotcha. So then you shade it. That's how you're shading it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of the scratch board, maybe.
Gotcha, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the drawings are really detailed looking.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I've kind of figured through, I don't know, everybody that does drawing, right? You have your own, you know, it ends up being, you can tell, like, you did it, right? And so, I guess that's just kind of been my main focus, is trying to translate this drawing to this thing, you know, like, keep it mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do people do it when I see it done with, like, paintings or something, like famous old paintings, and then they're on the glass?
I don't
question mark face?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, there's just, I've seen...
There's a paint you can use on glass.
No, but this is where it's really imagery. It's like printed out imagery.
There's decals you can use on glass.
That's probably what it is, then.
It's like a photo.
Yeah, it's like exactly the painting, picture of the painting, but put on the glass.
So it's like a high fire, it's like what ceramicists use.
Yeah.
But you fire it onto a glass thing.
That's not cool.
It's an iron-on, is what you're saying?
Pretty much. No!
Oh yeah, I wanted to, you mentioned Pilchuck before, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Pilchuck is this amazing school that's in Stanwood, Washington. It's on some amount of acreage of a tree farm.
Okay.
So you're pretty much like surrounded by these giant trees older than you are, right?
Right.
There's a bunch of trails and stuff you can go hiking through there, and horse trails and stuff. But also there's this glass blowing school, and you like drive up this long gravelly driveway and it opens up into this amazing like field of glass school. It's pretty much only open, I think, like May to August or September or something.
Okay.
So in the summer. And you can take different glass classes, everything from, like, neon to cold working to hot sculpting or glass blowing. And they also have artists in residence there that are making stuff that aren't... Usually the artists in residence aren't typically glass artists, so it's kind of cool because it's... an artist that's established in some way that's coming in and trying to figure out how to use glass as a medium for their own work.
Right.
So they're kind of experimenting while you're learning as well, so.
That's kind of a cool environment.
Not that it, like, takes them down a notch, but it kind of, like, brings them into this new place where they're trying to learn at the same time that you are, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes it fun.
Yeah, which makes it interesting, and so often people go there and, like, learn so much, but kind of figure out that path of where they're supposed to go.
Well, right, I mean, it would make sense, too, because if you're like, yeah, I'm thinking of doing something like this or that, but I can't figure out how it would be done, or whatever.
Yeah, you end up surrounded by all these people that...
Well, wait, what if we did this or that, you know? Totally.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place, and, like... being in the woods in the middle of nowhere definitely makes it more of a...
So you're camping?
You're at camp.
My wife calls it summer camp for adults.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, but do you have a tent or do you have a cabin?
No, there's like cabins.
With like a shower and stuff?
Some of them have showers.
It's like camps.
Some people are stinky then.
Yeah.
Some there's people like aren't.
I'd be stinky at that place, for sure. That's like a place where you're like, yeah.
There's a finally. Pond.
There's a pond. I've had a bunch of friends that went there.
And
they all, like, are really into it.
It's hard to leave there and not think that it's a pretty amazing place. And, you know, so much of it, like, so the classes go from, like, two weeks to 3 weeks, typically. And especially if you're there for like a 3-week session. And I think it ends up being almost like 3.5. It's like 3 and some days of another week.
Right.
Like you end up leaving the school, and like I literally have like left there and been like, wow, there's a stop sign coming up. I should, like, I don't know, just totally out of it. Like, yeah, like how you're do the... I drive? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now. Because you just are so out of, like, the world.
Off the grid.
Yeah, you're just...
In the woods.
In the woods. Blowing glass. Making stuff.
Yeah.
And that's your only concern.
Yes, yes. Oh,
that's awesome.
So, yeah, it's kind of, like, heavenly in a way.
You should get... You should do some kind of something with puppets and glass.
You should.
Yeah.
And you can kick it there and do some stuff. That you did a show that was a lot of those...
Drawings
on the glass.
Yes, I did. One of the pieces is in a show in England right now. In Sunderland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's that?
In England.
No.
Where were you Sunderland? For that? I was sitting right here.
I never heard of it. That's all I Is it London?
That's a good question.
Okay. We sound so dumb right now.
The piece that's in that show is actually a piece that Jeff helped me out a lot with. What? Jeff is the main focus of that piece.
What? What's that? What? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. Well, because they want...
It's just you nude
the
in
BBC
glass.
Wrote her a letter and asked they wanted to know about me.
Do you know this guy?
Can you make a piece that has something to do with Jeff Weig? We're thinking about having a show.
Exactly.
Where that's the theme.
Yeah.
That would be so awesome. I would have the most art in it. I just sold Jeff the puppet.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yep. And it was weird. It's a weird feeling.
It feels weird to me, too.
To put a price on him?
Yeah.
It feels weird to me, too.
Who got him?
Some
a stranger.
That just loved?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a question I have. So I really love doing portrait kind of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this idea for the show that I actually showed at University of Puget Sound that Jeff was talking about. And it was a lot of portraits, and it was a lot of people that were in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff's in your life, right?
Right.
And I was told, basically, like, nobody really wants to buy work that's just of people.
Just people in your life.
Like, why are you just doing people?
You should be doing Donald Trump.
Yeah. Because people want to buy that shit.
You should be doing Kanye West. What are you doing?
Yeah, Beyonce?
I don't care who Margaret is.
But that's like, I don't know, those people mean something to me, right?
Yeah,
that's what I want to do.
And
that's
you're the
what
one
I
making...
care about. And that's what...
Yeah.
You're the one making stuff.
I have this weird struggle of like...
Listening to people tell you what to make?
There's so many famous portraits of like, you know, somebody's uncle or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You guys.
I wouldn't listen to that one person that was randomly talking to you.
I know, I shouldn't. But now I feel weird about it. I mean, like, I want to do portraits of people that I, like, I'll be talking to somebody, I'm like, ooh.
You think they're
just,
interesting.
Yeah, you just, like, made this weird face that I want to, like.
No,
ooh.
Whoa, wait.
What was that?
Put your cheek back.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to touch your face.
I'm the face sculptor.
I don't know. Then I feel weird about that. Jack helped me out a lot with this piece, and now it's in England.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking rad.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's got one of his drawings on it, and his face.
And his face?
Yeah. His face is on it.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Whose face?
This one right here.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't really know that, like, because the show was just down the street from here, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, man, this is a cool show. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, you know? And then it's like, oh, by the way, that piece went to London or England
somewhere else.
It's like, what? Are you getting it? They're going to send it back to you? Like, how do you even send something like that?
I didn't send it. So it's part of the museum's permanent collection now.
Oh, it's there forever.
The glass museum?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So they sent it.
That's even good.
That's even cooler. Because I don't know how to send something.
Yeah. Well, I figured you had your connections within the museum, but...
I would just ask the guy that did it.
No, it's a really cool show, though, that's curated by Paul Marioni, who is, like, a very prominent person within the arts community in Seattle, but definitely the glass scene.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, like, a rad guy to talk to.
That always makes it a plus.
Yeah, definitely. People are cool. He's, like, actually a cool person on top of having a huge impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also makes it, like, even cooler that he curated the show that piece was included in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. I feel like I've been, like, I am interested in doing, like, collaborative things.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that, and, like, I feel like I put that energy out there. Because nobody... during that show, I asked Jeff for some of his drawings, and he was, like, kind enough to give me some of his drawings. And Trevor Dixon, who used to be in Tacoma, also helped me out a little bit with that. And I don't know. I had some... It was cool, because I actually... There was, like, a interpersonal working side as well as making the actual piece.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a cool story.
Yeah. I love Trevor's drawings, too.
I do, too. He sent me...
So good.
Yeah.
I have one that I just found lately.
Uh-huh.
And it's a comic. And it's the best fucking comic ever.
Yeah, every single one.
So it's a retarded drawing, or whatever word... A weird drawing,
uh-huh.
Not the same as the other people's drawing, of a deer that's shot, and it's laying on the ground, and the hunter is, like, across the way, yeah. And he just goes, "You idiot! You idiot! What the fuck are you doing? Why'd you do that?" It just says, "You idiot," but I read a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
But it's the best. It really is the best. And, like, me saying it doesn't even make it as funny as that picture is. Because it's really... He's emoting that, you know? Right. Like, what are you doing? Like, what? I was just eating grass, asshole.
Shot me?
You, like, were hiding? Looking like grass? Fucking shot me?
And now I'm done?
Yeah, now I have to die? Fuck. That's weird. This world is fucking weird.
What's wrong with you? Oh, so good.
That's so true, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so good.
It's so simple.
All
so
those true ones. Not normal, but normal. Not normal in a bad way. Don't get offended.
Oh, I'm not offended.
You're not offended by normal?
Well.
I would be.
So you meant that as an insult.
I know. So I should be insulted.
You should be mad at me right now if you were a real person.
Done with you.
Yeah, okay.
It's just me.
I got
Jeff.
Cut off. All right. That's it. Bye.
Bye. So you do glass and, of course, drawing. And you do other things as well. You do, like, woodworking and metal.
I do some metal work. And I do more metal work than woodwork.
So what attracted you to the kind of, like, art that makes you have to be around, like, super hot things all the time?
I feel like I tried to avoid that.
But, like, metal is, like, welding, and, like, the glass is, like, you know, you got this, like, pool of molten glass that you know, would just vaporize you if you touched it.
You don't have to post blisters kissing, though. That's what you...
You love that.
I love it. But, man, I didn't have to watch it for half an hour.
You did, though.
I was like,
It keeps happening.
It keeps happening the longer I sit here. It just keeps happening. And what's inside that? Always, what is that stuff?
It always takes me forever to figure out that shit's like just like on an infinite loop. And yeah. I didn't just edit like a repeat right. a few
yeah.
times
yeah.
in the little video.
It's going to keep happening.
That was a hot one. You got a hot one.
Yeah, so you have to have like
that's grabbing yourself. That's grabbing something, huh?
It was really weird. I didn't know how weird that blister was going to be until I was like at home that night watching TV, and I was like, "Oh, oh. Wow, that's really weird looking."
Jesus!
It was like this random. I don't even know how to describe it to you without like you being in the shop and knowing the tools I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But basically, there was this like long metal tube that had been sitting in a flame for like maybe a few hours, and I went to pick up the handle on the tube, which was not hot,
yeah.
and I almost dropped the tool, and I went to grab it, and I happened to catch it between the middle finger and my forefinger, right? Yeah,
finger
and,
pit.
Yeah, the finger pit. And the thing was also covered in, like, hot wax, right?
So oh, so it stuck. Also
sticks.
Oh.
And so then...
Who's covering these tools in hot wax? What's going on?
It just kind of...
Don't happens. Call OSHA.
My, yeah. There was this really famous artist working that week, and I did not want to act like I just got...
Severely burned?
Burned in my finger pit. Yeah. So... I went along with it, whatever, and then I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's probably gonna blister in a weird way, and then I went through work and everything was fine, and I don't know, you get burned every once in a while, you just kind of blow it off. And then, yeah, I was literally, like, watching TV that night and just being like, oh, that looks different than it did.
And it's just a blister, a blister on one side, and then a blister on the other side, big blisters, and they're just like,
They're not connected. Yeah, they're like two
separate things. They're just kissing. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's all love on until one forever. Pops. Yep.
Yes.
It's nature's band-aid.
So that's it. It is.
For sure. Is that the gnarliest burn that you ever had?
No.
No. I think the worst burn I ever had was like the whole side of my hand. Was like one big blister. And it was like when I first started blind glass, so I really didn't know how to like take care of any sort of burn, right? So I just kept trying to blow it off like it was.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's fine.
It's fine. And then I like I remember I was in school in Ohio, and I like went home from my glass class and like took a shower, which was like the most painful shower I think I've ever taken.
Ooh.
And then I went to class, and then I was like, wow, this still really hurts.
like, I'm just sitting here hurting.
It burns. It's still burning. Yeah, it was really bad. How now I take care of burns a lot different.
So what do you do now?
Yeah.
And you got some super...
Let's get some trick tips.
Yeah.
Trick I don't tips know what, like, a...
Doctor would say?
Doctor would say, but...
A lot of our fans like homemade fireworks.
Yeah.
This might be informative.
I try and keep it under running water, not stale, like,
just
bucket of
there.
Water.
Okay.
Running water, fresh water, till it stops burning, right? So if you take it out of the water for, like, 5 minutes and it starts hurting again, you put it back in the water.
Okay.
Once that happens, I usually just kind of, like, let it be, and I let the blister stay because it's nature's band-aid.
Mm-hmm.
Until the blister pops naturally.
Mm.
At this point...
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. At this point, it's disgusting and awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
And,
so gross. Especially when it's like 6 inches long.
Yeah, it's like my whole pinky wrist thing. And then I try and cover it in like... Because then the skin gets really tight, right? It hurts. If it's on, like, a moving part.
Right.
Which made really weird.
Oh, finger pit. Whoa.
So what do you cover it with?
I use, like, a two Band-Aid regimen.
Double it up. All right.
I don't know, you get creative. And then you're, like, using your hands, too, so the band-aids don't really want to stick.
Yeah.
So then you get kind of particular about the way they're, like, stuck to your hands while you're working at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It all gets stupid and weird.
Is it?
But I have to say that there are cooks that I know that have way worse burns than anything I've ever had in a glass studio.
Really?
Wow.
Like, just the other week I saw one that made me want to kind of, I might have thrown up in my mouth.
Yeah. It was like a fresh?
Yeah, it was on the forearm.
Uh-oh. It was grease?
Yeah, and it was like, there was like a burn on the whole forearm, and then there was like a blister. And the blister, you could actually, like, see.
You just started flicking the imaginary blister.
Yeah. You could see the liquid moving. It was like, like a waterbed of.
Oh! Pussy love!
Oh!
It was disgusting.
Oh. Like a waterbed.
Now you guys know how I felt.
Oh, that's so gnarly.
It was disgusting. Anyways, I feel like. We have, like, the more obvious job where you'd get burned.
Yeah.
And like the kitchen glass staff. Blower. Yeah, kitchen staff, maybe, like...
They fall under the radar.
Yeah, but worse burns, maybe.
Yeah.
And then there's always the quote, one of our, like, a beloved friend of mine, his favorite quote was, "The only day I get burned is on payday."
Yeah. I'm trying so hard, but I didn't... That's true.
So how'd you do the hand? The whole side of your hand? Would you like try to karate chop a hot glass?
No, it's like never the glass because you know the glass is hot.
Right? You're glass away from that.
Hot. Yeah. Yeah. It's always like hot metal that doesn't look hot. So mm-hmm. It was like we have ovens that we bring the glass down slowly to room temperature. We call them annealers.
Mm-hmm.
And the annealer door... It's very hot.
Yeah.
It's like 950 degrees maybe. And so if you touch that, it's going to burn you. So I was going to shut it really quickly because you're also trying not to let the heat out, right?
Right.
I was going to shut it really quickly and like touch the whole side of my hand to it.
Oh. Yeah. It's hot.
Yeah, really 900, hot.
What did you say?
50.
Don't put your skin on that.
Because how hot is the glass when it's like...
The glass on the furnaces is like 2,100 degrees.
I don't even understand temperatures like that.
I've seen it on somebody's arm.
It's not pretty.
Mm-mm. He got bumped by somebody else. Somebody else had it. And they bumped his arm.
Oh!
Yeah.
With that, and that was a gnarly burn.
Oh. And he didn't get mad at that person.
Nah, he's like, yeah, bro, fucking glass for life. Glass breaks. Woo! Oh.
But that doesn't even make any sense to me.
What part?
That those kind of temperatures, because like, I understand like 100 degrees, because it's been like 100 degrees outside before.
Well, just picture, wherever you get touched turns to air. Turns to like mist. Hot mist.
Well, like, you bake at 400, right? So, double that. And you're close to what we're annealing at. That's not even, like...
The hot.
Yeah.
The hot. That's yeah, really see, I'm hot. Not down. I'm not down. I had studios with glass blowers, like, 5 times or something. And, because they would just get these dope spots.
Yeah.
And then I would just have, like, a corner.
Yeah.
And pay way less. But, I don't even know what I was going to say. But
I feel
crazy.
Like you guys probably have like a unique take on the glass scene because you are from out here or have been out here for...
The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you probably even have like a different take on the whole scene than I do.
Yeah.
Which I would totally be down to hear about.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what do I think of it?
Yeah, like, are you totally... Do you think it's like this obnoxious thing that is out here?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think...
That it gets overshadows everything else that's cool that's happening out here, or...
It goes from Shahuli, right? Which is... Shahuli's awesome. He did a thing, you know.
Right,
he's
whatever,
the dude.
Yeah.
He's the dude. So then, let's go from that. Yeah. Let's go away from that.
Yeah.
And that's what started the whole thing. I mean, like, blew it up, seems like, to me, watching.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
And so then they started having all these community groups and, like, all that stuff to get, so everybody's a glassblower. And it, and to me, it lost the romanticism. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't, it was really cool. When I first heard about glassblowing, it was like everybody, how glassblowing, every person I know at one point was like, whoa, glassblowing is so cool, dude. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, totally.
Because it is.
Yeah.
But, and then they both parted into, functional glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
annoying.
Like
kind of,
soft.
Yeah.
Soft glass.
Functional glass and soft glass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Functional glass.
Totally there
So, like, most of my friends were making
functional
glass.
Yeah.
Like in their back shed or whatever.
Yeah.
But then a lot of those guys, first of all, a couple of those guys are like my biggest business, like mentor, like watching them build a business
yeah.
when they dropped out in eighth grade
right.
and started
like,
blowing glass.
Right.
Yeah. And now they just have a huge glass blowing company.
Yeah.
But, and they're like losers, you know, like you're a loser. You dropped out of school and you're like blowing glass and making pipes. What are you doing? You know, what are you doing with your life?
Making like money. Son.
Yeah. Making, my friend is like, he makes more money than I ever have. You know what I'm saying? Just like this. Woo, woo, woo. And now he's getting more people underneath him. I was going to say a lot of those people that were started out pipe makers just because they were like, whoa, that's cool, dude. You're melting glass.
Yeah.
And your shit.
Yeah.
They went on to become where they were doing soft glass in Seattle at some studio, you know?
Yeah.
They learned both things. Like the guy I'm talking about, that I'm using as an example, he did both. And he went back to the pipes just to build his business and make it into a business, you know. But he went and learned all the other stuff, too. So he's like, he knows like both, he knows everything about glass.
Yeah. You know?
But he's just like trying to have his company going. So he's like, well, weed is way cooler. Easier to sell, not way cooler, easier to sell. Like, it's easier to sell a pipe than it is like a sculpture.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they're not cheap. You know, like, there's a lot of work that goes into that, and you have to have all the infrastructure to make it and everything,
yeah.
So it's like, it's really costs a lot to produce it, I would
totally
assume.
But then I've seen so much of where people don't know, and I'm not the one that knows, but people that don't know anything about it, buy it from different, like, you could trick somebody easily into paying for, like, a B-
Right.
A piece of glass that's jacked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're looking at. They're just like, whoa, it's glass? Cool. Mm-hmm. I can set it on my shelf in my house. And I look like I'm rich. And then, like, the rich people are like, oh, shit, I got this one that I paid this much for. And then these people got this one that they paid this much for, but it's, like, this crappy one. Like, it gets, it's like, it seems like it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, it's something that not a lot of people understand fully what goes into it and, like, fully about it, you know? Like, it's easier for people to understand about, like, a painting that's worth a bunch of money, or this one's a fake painting.
I don't know, I think that's the same thing probably, though, huh?
But it's just so that you're more familiar with that form,
yeah.
You know? So it's like, you can tell that was, like, some fake-ass thrift store painting, or whatever. And with glass, people don't have as much knowledge, I guess, maybe. The general public, like, as far as, like, what's what, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying, but I don't know why I'm saying it. Like, who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares about that?
Well, the museum is there to help educate them.
Yeah. That's what we're getting back to?
I think it's messed up because I feel like a lot of the, like, art glass kind of sculptural side of glass.
Yeah.
Soft glass, non-functional.
Non-functional.
Side. We'll call it the non-functional side. Like, tries to almost deny the functional side. And I feel like those are the people that are actually making money based on this thing. So,
yeah. Why
are we trying to, like, disconnect from those people? I mean, those people
yeah.
are actually doing it. They're, like, making it a thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's
really
some
intricate.
Amazing
yes. Yes. That's what I was gonna
functional
get
art out there that doesn't look functional.
Right. It just looks like the baddest ass sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, why are you trying to disown those people? They're doing some amazing stuff.
Plus, it seems like a lot of the experimenting goes with those dudes, like the stoner dudes that are making pipes and like, I'm gonna make one way gnarlier than the other dude.
Yeah.
And so they're like trying stuff that's not in the school, you know, it's not in the school of art.
I have to say, like, that community is separate, or it feels separate, mm-hmm. than like the community of furnace class people that I work with.
Oh, you mean like they're divided from each other too?
No, they're very much a unit.
Yeah.
They build off of each other and they're
community. Oh, they're like, come on.
And then they're, but it's separate from the furnace side of things where like the torch side is very much like come work with me for like a month and we'll go figure some shit out and collaborate and whatever. And, that's just not really.
It's more like you hold, I mean, in the sculpture side, it's like you hold it to your chest more. You hold it.
Or maybe. Some people do. Yeah. I don't feel like I do, but yeah, I feel like that's kind of been the history of it is.
I mean, like a torch worker is more apt to like want to collaborate with you or something, is that you're saying too?
Yeah, their community in general is much more like, let me share what I know and we'll all fucking come up together.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, like here's a trick, here's a trick, here's a trick, here's a trick. Boom,
cool.
Boom,
I'm
boom.
I'm gonna use your trick and try this other thing that I know.
I'm gonna add mine onto it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've watched that a lot. And it's there.
Which is cool and it elevates everybody, right? I mean,
yeah.
It brings everybody up. So that's cool in that way. I don't know.
That's how I always feel as an artist though. Is like telling people whatever. Because sometimes people are like, hey, can you show me how to make a puppet? Or is that weird? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I didn't make up puppets.
puppets.
Like, I went through and I figured out this like armature that I use, but it's like super simple and not a big deal, you know, and I'll show you how to do it all day. I want there to be a million of those puppets. Like, everybody make one.
Well, because your puppets want to meet some friends.
Yeah, totally. They're like, this sucks. We all look the same. If you are content with who you are and like where you're at in your artistic journey, then who gives a fuck? Like, I'm just making stuff regardless of if you're born. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and I'll tell you every single, I don't care. I'm not in a race with anybody.
Right.
Like, I am with myself, but like, that's all. And I'd love to share everything. Cause then there's more. And every time I've done it, like I've had artists come and make a puppet while they're making a puppet there. And they're like asking me all these questions. They figure out something that I didn't know. And then I just grab that, like, whoo, there you go. You just paid for that.
That trick was pretty awesome.
And I use it on every puppet, you know, from then on.
Yeah.
Like, and that was payment to me, for real.
Like, why don't you just put a notch right there? Or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't just...
It was like a big problem. I had some big problems where I didn't even... But I didn't care about them. I would just fix them.
Yeah.
You know, like when it fell just apart there or whatever. Yeah. Whatever, but over and over and over. And then this dude was like, how come you don't do this? I was like, oh, I do.
I don't know.
From now on. I do that for the rest of my life, so that's cool. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for wanting to learn how to make a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But people bring you gifts, too. Like, after they get into making puppets, like, you keep getting, like, pieces of, like, sets gifted to you.
Yep, because they make a set for, like, the puppet that they made that was for a show where it was, like, a doll show or something that this artist is going to make a puppet for. Where they don't usually make puppets.
Yeah.
And so then they just give me the thing after it's done. And then the students at school, they do the same thing. Like, because a lot of those kids are just like, you want my puppet? After they just worked on this thing for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, cool. Is that good? Like, you want it? And so I have a whole orphanage of these puppets.
Yeah, because
they're all like janky.
Which could look maybe creepy if you just walked in not knowing who you were.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's like super creepy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's insane. You gotta come there and check it out.
Yeah, for sure. Why would they give them away, though? That's the thing.
I can't understand. I don't understand it.
Like, when you're, like, describing that 6 weeks, it's like, it just takes, like, an hour to build the puppet. But, like, they're, like, refining what kind of puppet they want to make, but like trying, like making characters.
They're doing character design. Sketches, yeah, they do like character design thing. For the whole thing.
Right, and so you're like putting all of this like thought into this character that you're making, and then
we're all gonna die when they're in charge of everything.
That's what. I don't want to sound like my grandma, but
yes, these fucking kids.
That's how I feel.
You want to do one more thing? You want to play the game?
Yeah. The story.
Did you hear the way he said yeah?
I know. It scares me.
Yeah. It should. Because I've never heard him say it like that. That was awesome. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yes.
I was just inspired by Disneyland. I was just being a little theatrical.
I like it. I wasn't making fun of you. I was agreeing.
Not very good at games.
It's not really a very hard game.
It's called the Story Machine, right?
You roll once for a category of question, and then a second time for the question.
Stickers for you. That's your payment for coming to the show.
Oh, these are stickers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
This is my friend Kenji, and then the rest of them are ones I drew.
That's awesome. What do I do this time?
So, yeah, you roll, and that gives us the category. Uh-oh.
And then, so the categories...
Why?
The categories are sex, drugs, rock and roll, right?
Okay.
Or... Uh-oh, hold on. Oh, no, it's not here.
Yes, it is.
It's on the back. No. We got trouble. Why is it not on this clipboard with the rest of the stuff?
I think I just won.
You just won? You're the first person to win.
Wow. Cheers to you.
Wait a minute. No, you got one. Yeah. We got that one.
All right.
Sex. Mm-hmm. So now you got to roll it again.
Six.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That one's weird because it's one that Andy wrote.
You go with five then.
No.
Oh. Okay.
What? I would never ask her that. What about...
I don't know what it is.
Well, six is, what's something you never would do sexually?
Ooh.
That's and the way it's written down is
gang bang.
Boom. Boom. Done.
Done.
Done. That was easy. And you came out looking good.
I ain't no crazy
hoe. Roll it again. We're only doing threes.
No, come on.
You can't get two sex in a row. You gotta take a break.
Two, okay.
Drugs.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm gonna lose on this, too.
There you go. You gotta roll it again.
You gotta roll for the question.
Oh, you tried to switch dice? Three. I don't know if that's legal.
I didn't.
This isn't Vegas rules here. It's all good.
What are you holding?
You got nothing.
You got nothing on you?
No. Sorry. I told you I'm no fun.
Beer. You're winning.
I brought beer.
Yeah, beer. Yeah.
Man, I look so clean right now.
Yeah, you're coming out. You're coming. This is the best that anybody's ever looked.
Squeaky.
Oh, there's no stories. The story machine's broken. Nothing. Okay, roll it. One more time.
Two.
Ooh, I smell a story.
Two.
No.
Two.
Nothing, man.
Drugs.
She just did that one. Do it again.
Oh, you know, oh yeah, because you can't do two drugs
in a row.
Five. That was Jobs.
Jobs. Okay.
Okay, roll it again.
Different one?
Whichever one you want.
Five.
Question five.
Question five.
What was question five?
There was, I'll never remember what five is, but we'll make it up in my head.
Well, I won't be able to help you with that.
I probably don't have a good story for it.
Have you ever been fired?
No. See, I told you.
Oh, you are the worst. You're
I'm
the worst.
Sorry.
You totally won this
game. You really just won. Like over and over,
I
though.
Suck.
It's like the game that you can't actually win, and you just
and
totally
you
just won.
Like, over and over.
She just pulled the what do you call it when you win three in a row?
It's a trick. It's the hat trick.
The hat trick.
Damn
just
it.
Got the hat trick.
We just That's, got a hat trick.
What have was, you been fired from?
Sure. Well, we don't. We just listen. This podcast. We've already been doing it for a while.
You've already talked
add,
about all of
I don't want to add 2 hours of every time I've been fired.
Can you just do like a quick like...
Ooh, I can do some.
Just run down like
yeah.
a few on your fingers.
North Shore Golf Course.
Okay. Four.
Four breaking carts that I didn't break. I didn't break the carts. There was somebody else breaking the carts.
Okay, next.
Sorry.
Don't get into it.
Well, the bumper hooked. They saw me. Okay. Sorry. North Shore Golf Course, Dairy Queen.
For what?
Cussing to the manager, that's but great. Think because I thought we were that kind of friends.
Okay.
And I thought she thought I was cute, and she didn't. Oh. Anyways, so I got fired from Costco.
Whoa, for what?
Yeah.
I think that was just from, like, showing up drunk. That was, like, in the most craziest time ever. The job started at 2. I used to drink 40s to stay awake to go to work.
In two in the morning? Empty trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, in empty trailers.
Yeah. Not doing that ever again. Mm-mm. Same with weeding, mowing lawns, all that.
I had a weeding and mowing the lawn job.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't get fired.
Where was
that? And I also worked a 10 to 2 a.m. job.
You didn't get fired.
But I was getting off when you were getting on.
What was getting that? Drunk.
It was like at this grocery store called Wegmans.
I know Wegmans.
I know you do.
You guys.
So I was looking at you. Yeah.
Doing what?
I was a cashier at...
Oh, because they're open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Just a little four-hour shift.
10 to 2. Yeah, I would go teach glass blowing, and then I would go be a cashier for 4 hours. There's some weird people that go grocery shopping from 10 to 2.
Yes. That's when I used to do it.
Yeah.
You've never been fired in your life.
Fired, no, but I had to quit one time, and I did it in a cool way.
Because
the dude was a dick, and so I did it in a cool way that screwed him over real good.
Yeah,
it was like a fruit stand, like just like on the little side of the road style, you know.
Yeah,
and it was like me and this other dude who was the dude in charge. And I'm the helper dude, you know, because I'm like 18 or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like got hired on when they're like, oh, we need to hire 30 people.
Yeah, seasonal.
Do all these fruit stands on the side of the road, you know. So I was just another dumbass teenager that was there to, like,
yeah, do whatever
shit up or whatever you gotta do, run the cash register. So it was like main dude, like, had something he had to do, like, he couldn't not be there, like, this one day.
Oh shit.
So it was like,
starts
right,
so he can't be here, so tomorrow you gotta get up, you know, you gotta be there at, like, at the, like, warehouse place at, like, you know, 6 a.m. or some shit, and then, like, they load up your
get the goods. Yeah,
like, big yellow van.
Mm-hmm.
Big, like,
you're driving it?
Yeah, you're like buzzing rental van or whatever,
yeah.
That giant thing. You gotta drive it out to the spot, you know, and I'm like,
I like this.
I know, but like, I'm not like, I don't know how to drive a giant van.
Yeah. I get it.
And so then you gotta drive it out there and then unload it all and then do the whole thing all day. And then at like 8 o'clock at night,
because
it's summertime, because you got, it's like 12 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like 8 o'clock at night, and load the shit all back up and drive it back to the deal. And that sucked ass, you know?
Yeah.
But like halfway through the day, like, boss dude rolled in and was like, what the fuck? This looks like shit. And blah, 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 just like,
let you have it?
Yeah, just like, well, there's customers there, and he's just like in my face yelling at me and shit.
You know? Yeah,
like, and he was like with the wife too, who was in the car with him, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of deal. And she was like,
yeah.
And she was just like, you know, like, feeling sorry for me because you're just being a jerk.
Yeah, she has to live with that dick face.
Right.
And so then I was like, okay, whatever, you know, like, dude, writing down what he said was I had to fix, you know?
Yeah, and Jeff Weed's down.
<then, laughs>
yeah, what was it?
Okay.
No, you know, because he yells at you and shit.
I get it,
like,
okay, yeah.
So the grapes and the watermelons and the blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right, cool. And so then they leave, and so you do the rest of the day and go back to the thing. And then you just go back to normal work for, you know, the rest of the week. And then, like, one day the next week, it's like, dude can't be there again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-mm. Dude's like, oh, yeah, you gotta do the same thing. You know?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
all right.
Yeah, I'll see you bright and early.
I'll be there with bells on, motherfucker.
Uh-huh. Fuck you. It felt really good.
Yeah, it still does right now.
Yeah. It's like, all right, let's go skate.
I don't have to work today, man. I'm off.
Or tomorrow.
I feel like we should wrap it up.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm Disneyland dead, too.
That's your own fault.
I know. Yeah. Oh, we didn't do that to you. It's still the
truth. You gotta pay to play, boy.
It still happens to be the truth.
Can you play some music so we can get the fuck out of here?
I mean, you're free to leave at any time.
I'm so thankful for people listening to this show.
Me too.
You sounded more sincere.
And thank you for coming.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you had a good time.
Yeah. I think you did.
I did.
Just by the look on your face.
Uh-huh. Why not?
Why not? Why would this suck?
So if anybody wanted, like, more information on any of your stuff, how would they find that?
I have a website.
Ooh!
That's kind of what I'm getting at, yeah.
it's sarahgilbertglass.com.
You made that up?
Counterclockwise Studios.
Ooh!
Yeah, I made that one.
Oh, all right. I backed up.
I remember that Sarah Gilbert Glass with the H on the Sarah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah.
I did the counterclockwise first, and then somebody was like, nobody's ever going to find you that way.
Why?
Because nobody goes counterclockwise. It's all clockwise.
Well, maybe lefties?
You get a bunch of lefties at your website? Yeah, nice.
You could design it for a left-handed mouse user. Be cool. Maybe that could be a page. You could have a lefty page.
Just for the left-handed right-handed though, right? People.
So it'd be inauthentic. Yeah.
My sister's left-handed.
All right. Have her.
Maybe she I know have some people page. That are left-handed. A couple people.
I know.
We're friends.
Yeah. I still talk to them. I go to eat.
I still I talk sit to them
on the right side of the table.
I do that. When I remember and when I don't, I'm like, fuck.
Insensitive asshole.
Lefty.
I never even think about that.
See? White privilege.
Yep. Right privilege.
Right privilege. On that note, we better get out while we're on a high one. That's a good one. If you want to check out anything that Jeff is making, then go to
SoundCloud.com/offmodel
I think it is.
SoundCloud.com/offmodel yes.
If you want to see any stuff I'm working on, go to CandyTeethCreative.com.
That's all one big word, folks.
I have a website, too.
Yeah.
I still like counterclockwise.
Yeah, that's a good name. You still have that domain name?
I do.
Nice. Hold on to that.
Haha, Japan! Sorry. I have a whole thing.
That's a different show.
We'll save that for the next show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody else.
You know what to do.
Stay alive.
That's right.
You want to talk about methanol or Trump?
No, I don't want to talk about either talk one about of those Trump. Things. Talk Were about, you going to talk get, about those things?
Can we get him just a little... What do you think about Trump?
He's the biggest dumbass in...
It sounds stupid to say it.
I feel like an idiot saying that.
Yeah, but it's like all you can
me.
Say.
Yeah. I don't even know... It. The whole thing frightens me.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't even know how Every to like articulate person. How... wrong that is.
Yeah, because it's a weird thing to articulate. Because it's nothing, you shouldn't even be talking
about
it. I
never thought I would have to explain why that was a bad idea.
Exactly. Anyways, well, good luck, America. Fuck. Good night.
Stupid.
Boo! You are the worst.
I'm sorry!
You're the worst. Only one that's